This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the PBS network, broadcasting live from the East City Ranch. Right now we've got Jay City here. It's the Japan version of East City. And we also have A City starting up over there in Australia. So, you know, it's an amazing thing. Peter Slattery over there in Australia is heading up that one with a good friend of mine, Giles. And we'll have him on the show real soon. Seems like we're really getting out there and starting to network. So all is well. There's a few things I want to talk about. I want to get the other stuff out of the way. We've got Winston Strauss coming here next weekend. And so if anybody that doesn't know him, he's kind of the grandfather of the sovereignty movement and, you know, commerce movement. So you really want to get empowered and learn how to separate yourself from the system and get rid of some nasty debts and a few other things. It's an amazing workshop. I'm not sure exactly what his workshop's going to be on this time around, but every single workshop has brought amazing information. The people walked out of there really empowered, you know, and it's, you know, we just don't have to lay down and take it anymore, you know, from the big corporations. We can actually do something about it. So he's the man to see, and it's going to be an amazing workshop coming up. The we also have some other workshops. We've got Captain Kramer. He's the Captain K that everybody knew about from the Mars program. And he's coming up here real soon on that one. We've got, if you want to go to find out more about this, I also have an ambassador training or self-mastery training with Itasha, or Tashina is the name she goes by now. And some knew her as Itasha, and she's an Apache wisdom keeper and Arcturian. She's more than a contactee. She's actually genetically been altered. So we'll let her tell that story over the workshop, but it's going to be an amazing workshop. And we're going to actually show people how to have their own contact and bring the different beings in so people can pick them up and connect, you know, connect on their own, you know, have their own experience. So it's like an ambassador training or self-master training, but it's more geared toward the higher dimensional beings, you know, Arcturians and Andromedans, the Orion Council Light and Palladium, and things of that nature. So amazing events coming up. If you want to find out more, go to privateinvitationeastety.com. And you can also go to eastetireservation@gmail.com. Or just go to the site, eastetire.org, and the contact information is there if you want to find out more about the upcoming conferences and events. We're having amazing sky watches. I think it's about 35,000 acre fire, I think, is finally going out. We have some pretty heavy rains coming down right now, and I think that's hopefully going to be the end of this fire. But it's just been a mess up here. We had it coming towards us, and we were doing our Yigong practices to call on the wind to blow it back on itself, and we did several times and actually stopped the fire from coming our way and blew it back on itself. It almost went out, but I just don't think they have the staff up there to actually maintain this fire. They're just letting it burn because it's on the reservation. So they just, you know, kind of made one fire line, so it didn't come to the town and let it burn. But it's kind of sad. But there's a lot of beetle kill up there, and so there will be a major, you know, rejuvenation going on, you know, in the big picture. There's just so much happening. There's so much going on right now. I wanted to just give a short recap about Shasta. So the Ascension Portal event that Rob Potter put on, it was an amazing event. I got to hang out with Olmec Olmec, and she's the person that came in from, she came incarnated from Venus. And amazing woman, beautiful woman, has some wonderful energy. And everybody goes, oh, check it out, see if she's for real. She's definitely for real. Just, you know, we knew each other. As soon as we saw each other, we recognized each other. And so it was spent a lot of time with her and shared a lot of information. But it was quite an event. You know, my talk and her talk and a lot of other people were there at the Ascension Portal Conference with Rob Potter, you know, in Shasta. And I wanted to cover a little event that happened. People asked me questions about that. And so something really, it was high strangeness all the way through this trip. And what happened was, on the way, I picked up a friend in Medford, and we were driving at the airport there. So we're driving, and you know, just a few minutes later, I'm at the border. I'm going, wait a second, I think we missed a couple towns and a few other things. And, you know, you punch it in on the Oh, the, you know, the drive, what's that called? Yeah, the navigation, the brain farting, the GPS. You know, it tells you, you know, you got a couple hours, you know, you got a good 2-hour drive, you know, and things like that. So next thing you know, it's not even an hour and we're in Shasta. And I'm going, what happened the other hour and 30 minutes, you know? And that was the first odd thing that happened. We actually did by location and lost an hour and a half or so, and which was great, you know, because it was great to get there an hour and a half early into Shasta. And you know, it was this has happened to me several times before. It's happened, probably about 4 times where I've actually lost 6 hours at a time. Or one time we left L.A. and we ended up in Eugene, Oregon in 6 hours, which is impossible if anybody knows it by car. Unless you're going about 400 miles an hour, I don't think the traffic would allow that. But anyway, there's several things that happened before. So that was kind of odd. But the oddest thing that happened when I was going towards my conference, I was turning left on Castle Lake Road, and the Methodist Church or the retreat center where they had the conference was right off of Castle Lake Road, just a little ways up. Now, I've been up to Castle Lake many times. I'd already gone there a couple times before my talk. And I was taking the road as usual, you know, and everything was going fine. We get on Castle Lake, and we start going up Castle Lake, and all of a sudden the scenery changes. And I said, wait a minute. There's no turnoff on this road. You know, there's no way we could have made a wrong turn or anything else. And all of a sudden, everything changed. The scenery totally changed. The trees were no longer pines. You know, they were deciduous trees and firs weren't there. And I said, this looks wrong. This isn't right. And so we kept going up the road and up the road and went way up the road and ended up, I don't know where we ended up. And so luckily I left an hour early to come and do my talk, because I always like to do that because there's always some kind of shenanigans that happen to divert you. And so we go, wait a second. This isn't right. I'm going back. I'm turning around and going back. So we come back. We drive all the way back down to the intersection. We look at the signs. Signs say Methodist Camp, you know, straight ahead. The signs say Castle Lake, you know, straight ahead. We get on the road again. We drive the same thing. We drive up the street. Now the trees are different again. Everything changed again. And so we go up and I go, this is just getting too weird. This is really weird. So we turn around. We go back down again. And I said, this is insane. This is totally insane. And so we drive back. We actually did it 3 times, and everything was bizarre. Everything was weird. And, you know, I'm a pretty grounded person. I have a lot of crazy things happen to me, but I'm always looking for an alternative explanation thing, you know, that, you know, we spaced out, missed the turn, something like that. But this wasn't it. It was something different. So I sat down. I said, you know what? I'm looking at the clock. It's 9:47. I'm supposed to be talking at 10. And I'm just going, there's no way, no way we're going to get there at this, you know, at this time. And so I said, you know what? I said, I am done with this. I am calling in the masters. I'm calling in my higher dimensional being. And I'm going to clean this up, straighten this out, and I'm going to collapse time. And it's going to claim perfect timing. Right when I said that, we had my GPS on the phone. We're looking at the clock, and the clock goes from 9:47 to 9:30. On the clock. And I go, wait a second. You know, this is just too bizarre. This is way too bizarre. So we go and we're checking this thing out again, saying this is really strange. You know, so we take off, we go up, and everything looks normal. Everything looks fine. We drive up there, big sign, Methodist Church, cars parked in front, everything. None of that was there. We drove right in. And I got to my talk about 12 minutes early. So it was amazing. So I said, wait a second, this is just too strange. So we had to tap in and find out what it was all about. And basically what it was some tall grays, some negative grays playing around and some other energies. And they were actually shifting time and dimensions on us, playing all kinds of games with us on this trip, trying to divert me from going and doing this talk. When we brought the other beings in, they straightened things out really fast. But it was bizarre. That's what they told us, and that's the only thing that I can, you know, come to terms with, because the scenery was different, the terrain was different, the turnoffs weren't there, the cars weren't there. and we're on the same road all three times. So it made no sense whatsoever. So just to clear that up, everybody's asking me, what are you talking about high strangeness on your trip? You know, well, that's the high strangeness, because it was really bizarre. Very strange. And a lot of other things happened there. We had some amazing events happen. We had some beautiful ships come in during the sky watches. Some beautiful pink-colored Palladian ships came in and powered up for the people. We counted 28 ships on the first sky watch before I left. And the second one had quite a few ships as well. The first one was a little more dramatic. But all in all, it was a tremendous success. And so, and another odd thing happened is that whenever I do interviews, the technology crashes. And, you know, it's really strange. I don't know why it does that or what happens, but the what happened is the technology at the last couple of places where I've spoken went down. Josh Tree, the same thing happened. Technology all went down. They didn't get my full presentation. And a couple others, the same thing happened. And so what I did was, you know, I had a friend of mine. I said, hey, can you be there and make sure this gets recorded and everything else? Well, that didn't work either, you know. So I thought for sure I was going to get a full presentation, but again, I lost the first part of my presentation due to, you know, different types of influences and interferences. But anyway, so well, I got most of my presentation on there. So I don't know how I'm going to get all this information out other than just to set up a camera here at ESETI and go through the whole presentation and then just do it ourselves just to make sure it doesn't get messed with. Because what we do is we clear the energy and make sure there aren't any unseen negative influences or anything else that could interrupt, you know, what we're doing. And then we do the presentation. So we'll be putting something together that's going to cover everything. It's going to cover, you know, the Anunnaki return, you know, all the different things on there. It's going to be covering all that. So it'll be really interesting when this comes out. But anyway, it comes with the territory. So just a little heads up, if you're on target, you know, if you're over the target, you're going to get a lot of flack and you're going to get some high strangeness in your life. And that's just the way it's working. A lot of other challenges too, you know, health challenges, everything are coming with this work right now because these guys are on their way out. The Dark Hearts and the Archons and all these guys are out on the way out. We just read some interesting with the JSETI group here. They started asking questions, and they asked about the astral levels and how much is cleaned up there. And they said about 70% of that's cleaned up, but still there's a lot of misguided souls in the lower astral level and some other things going on. And then we asked about the reptilians and that mess that's been going on forever. And we've got that cleaned up to about 90%, which was great. And I think, wait, no, it's 60% on the astral level, 90% on the reptilian, and about 70% in the gray factor. So, you know, we've been getting all kinds of different information, so we double-checked on it, and that's the information that they gave us. So there still are some negative ETs running around out there, despite what other people are telling you. And there still are some... You know, the lower astral level is still busy. You know, there's a lot of cleanup going on there. But I think the next 2 years is just going to be phenomenal. Actually, the next year, there's just going to be massive cleanup. So there's just huge shifts and energies coming in. You know, and that's part of that process. And I talked a lot about that in my presentation on Friday and Saturday. You know, I asked people, "Did you feel that?" And they said, everybody looked at me and just said, "In awe." You know, like in wonder, going, they're all like a deer in the headlights. It's like, because a big shift came through on Friday and Saturday, and it just really made a lot of people go wonkers, and people that are really sensitive had a hard time with it, with that shift. So last weekend was another big shift of energy came through. I know there's a lot of solar flares and other things to byproducts of that. And so we went through another big shift, and people are still integrating, you know, from that shift. And it feels like this weekend more energy is coming in. I don't know. It seems to be building exponentially. So anyway, now that we've covered all that and cleared up a lot of the other things going on there, I wanted to bring in Greg Sullivan with our JSETI group here. And we've been having an amazing event here and just a lot of energy. And the group that he brought up this time were all just amazing, heart-centered people. And some had extremely high connections. I mean, some are master teachers from the Pleiades that actually incarnated here to help us out here. And their energy is just off the chart, you know. And so others, just amazing, the group that he brought up this time. So we've been having fun exploring those connections and tapping in and clearing out any old past lives that are inhibiting us from going forward, any childhood trauma. And people are really stepping into their power, and it's just amazing. So Greg's doing an awesome job with this program. So with any further ado, I want to welcome Greg to the show. Greg, are you with us?
Hi, James. Thanks. Yes, great to be back here. And this is our second tour here this year. It seems like it's already been a fast 4 years, but it's been another active year here. And this time it's even, you know, the workshop we did today was really excellent. So just touching on all these current themes. And I was just reading another book about the holographic inserts just as on my way up. And then a few hours later, I saw your email about the things you just talked about. So it seems like it's impossible to some people, but yeah, this reality is bendable to some of these beings, definitely. So we have to check ourselves, and, you know, and it's good when time slips happen in the right direction, like getting across an hour or two of driving time without any problem. But when you're trying to get to a lecture, it's another story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the key things with that astro cleanup we talked about, it's been a theme on our side of the Pacific too. In Japan, you know, we're getting. I had a experience with one of our friends in Tokyo whose mother passed away, and I had a coffee with him and a friend in Tokyo, and then I got home, and just as I started thinking about his mother all of a sudden, and it was during the new moon in February, we've had a couple of major, you know, serious alignments this year as well, following that Grand Cross, you know, the Uranus and Neptune, Pluto and Uranus alignments throughout 2015 as well, and, you know, I all of a sudden looked up in the sky and saw Jupiter, you know, which is brighter than it's ever been this year, and next to it was flying a ship, and I immediately knew that his mother's spirit was on there. You know, it was like she was reaching down to say thank you, and I just got hit with this wave of love and gratitude. And you know, we had another experience with an interview you and I did from Japan earlier this year with you know, the spirit and his consciousness of Dr. Masaru Emoto coming through, and mm-hmm. and you know, we're getting a whole new level of the ascension where these, you know, people leaving their human bodies and going right into fifth and sixth dimension, where they're able to now communicate directly back to us. This is a really amazing thing. Another big gun in the Japanese spiritual scene is a guy called Yukio Funai, and he has this huge network of spiritual events and you know, people working with him, and he passed away last year as well, and we had a kind of a encounter with his spirit as well in the beginning of this year. So it's an exciting, definitely that fourth dimensional cleanup is very tangible from our perspective here too this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, it's almost interesting that the contact is always continuing, but you know, just watching the process of people coming through, and you know, I always like to work with the even the transpersonal release sessions and the table work and stuff. We do a lot of that in the self mastery training, and I'm trying to put myself in the members, you know, the first timers' shoes here, and you know, it's hard to you know this process takes time to digest. You know, you have the sky watching here, and then you also have the extreme internal changes that occur. So it's kind of, you know, we go back to our, you know, lodgings, and then we talk about, you know, kind of trying to unpack what happened. You know, it's such a dense experience for people. But, you know, over the last year or so, we've had a lot of, you know, a continuous series of great events in Japan and you know, trying to more and more people coming online, more and more people going through their awakenings and processes, and, you know, there's people here and there who are encountering, you know, major negativity and, you know, kind of coming to us for answers in terms of, you know, all the oddball kind of psychic attack, you know, and then black magic phenomena that occurs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it seems like the old world spiritual, the old world way of doing things in the New Age community is completely being turned upside down. And those who can continue to surf these new energies are going to thrive. And those who don't, those who refuse to give up the manipulation game and you know, keep their cards against their chest, they can't be open. They're just going to be forced out. Like this is what you've been saying, as you've been saying all along. We're really seeing it in all fields, up and down the line, throughout the spiritual community, and as well as, of course, the UFO community. You know, in Japan, we really don't have a UFO community per se. I've touched upon this in previous shows we did together, where we have this complete mass, what they call it, mass coming, the mass communication, the mass media news gauntlet over there is, you know, completely. When it comes to this topic, is they've got their henchmen out there. They've had an unchallenged run since the 1990s. They've just had a complete media blackout of all things, you know, truthful, you know, post X-Files, you know. So it's been interesting to try and be a liaison from the good things that are online or out there in the English media, American and European media, and in this topic, and trying to get that across to as many people as we can out there. You know, it's interesting how the people who are actually drawn here, you know, they seem to have a connection to the land here, and you know, it's a hands-off process for me. I just provide the opportunity, and then the people who actually come here have their own calling. And you know, one of the people on this tour, you know, she was just getting a remote healing just 2 months ago. So her, you know, some people they're on the fast track to awakening. They're on the fast track to you know, getting their own direct experience. And so we always thank you for providing this space for that.
Well, you play an important role in this. I know just holding space and organizing this and supporting them and their awakening, you know, and helping them understand the energies that they're coming in contact with in the different groups. You know, got to commend you on that one. So I know you don't want to stay humble. But no, you're doing amazing work in opening, you know, Japan up to this phenomenon. And, you know, to me, people ask me why, you know, you got ascended masters, you know, and you can be a yogi and you can turn yourself into a pretzel and you can do this and you can do that. You can do all these basic things and, you know, get a huge following. And they go, why are you doing the ET thing? You know, why? And I tell them, I said, you know, the highest teachings come from the stars. All of the religions came from the stars. All that information, when you get down to it, comes from the stars. You know, why not go to the stars and find out, you know, who they are and you know, which group brought these teachings and get the real teachings that haven't been distorted, you know, throughout history. The other thing, too, you know, the energy is so much stronger when you tap into these, you know, fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional beings. You know, it's just phenomenal. I've had people that studied in all the mystery schools, and they came here and just blew wide open and cried for half an hour, you know, when the energy came in. It's, you know, one guy, you know, he was actually part of the Royal Family of Korea. I won't mention his name. I don't want to get him in trouble, but you know, he said this is 10,000 times stronger than anything he's experienced, and he's been all over the world in all the mystery schools. But, you know, being on a vortex here in a Stargate, it makes a huge difference, you know, as far as the available energy, you know. And I'm not saying I'm making this happen. I'm just saying, you know, the ranch here and the vortex and the Stargate and other people being open to that is what's creating the experience.
Yeah, definitely. And in Japan, they have a word for the unseen destiny. You know, it's like the money yen in Japan, and that the take off the YN is the word for these unseen connections. So, you know, it's just beyond all of us. That's the level that the ETs are working at, the causal level, where they seem to create these meetings and synchronicities And it's a I mean, it seems to me like a real hands-off process. We're the facilitators, but on the spiritual level, it's it. These beings are working so hard behind the scenes.
I know in the Buddhist practices, the Shinto, they have, they're open to a lot of this. It's kind of part of their reality, because we have nature spirits here and masters and, you know, Kuan Yin appearing here and all these different, you know, we've had the different Buddhas. We had Amitabha appear here, a cosmic Buddha once. Got pictures of all these different beings. You know, it seems like there's certain sects in there in Japan that are just wide open to this.
Yeah, definitely. A couple of people here on this tour are, you know, really active with their grid work in Japan and then the shrine network there. I think the American military with the GHQ, a lot of people are noticed that they move certain shrines just a few meters in one direction off the line. So MacArthur went after the war. They went in. He did a lot of good things to create a new, peaceful interaction with Japan. Obviously, it's been an interesting 70 years after the war. But part of the thing that they did when they came in there was that they did move and they did break down, you know, the network of the shrines in some way. So there's people. A lot of people that we meet are they could be a housewife, they could be, you know, people all walks of life are on this unseen kind of network of grid workers, in a very loose and informal network of people who are being called to go to certain places at certain times to be like an acupuncture point to do some sort of, you know, facilitation work, connecting heaven and earth, so to speak. But yeah, some of those places, they have more dogma than others, but yeah, the Shinto is really, it's just an animism, you know, philosophy. It's the oldest, the ancient Shinto is, you know, it's about as close to nature as you can get and close to the, you know, the cosmology that we're experiencing here. So yeah, it's been really, they've been very welcoming to that as well.
Yeah, I know a lot of the questions I get over and over again, people ask me, you know, is there a lot of UFO activity in Japan? And what about Fukushima? Are there ships appearing around Fukushima? Are they helping us out? And I can't think of a better person to ask that question being over there. So get your take on that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. There's been certain areas of our activity is a combination of our own events and me being asked to go certain places. But it's really been a series of divine timing. So our first foray into the northern area, including Fukushima, was this last year. So that included two events around a big volcano that's starting to become active there called Zao, and that's near Sendai City. And then I went privately around to one of the cities right near the reactor called Iwaki. Around the station, you could kind of almost taste the radiation in the air. I mean, I was only there for one night and 2 days. But at the same time, we have people, there's a lot of spiritual activity happening there after the disaster. And, you know, there was issues that we were, there's a lot of this astral cleanup going on there, too. That was an area that was historically a lot of wars and battles went on there. And, some big kingdoms were lost around that area. So it had issues tying way back into history as well. When I go on the train, when I've been on the train there two or three times last year, it really felt like you were going into another dimension, or that whole area was under sort of a quarantine energetically, it felt like. So when you pass going out of the Tokyo area, it takes about 2.5 hours to get into Fukushima on the high-speed train. And there's a certain line where you cross through this one tunnel, and I really felt it the second time I went there, and confirmed what I felt the first time, was that there's a lot of like this Mary energy and that Kuan Yin, the divine feminine, is there majorly in healing and protection, and it really feels like it's in its own little bubble there. So some other friends of ours, you know, these other psychics have confirmed that. We've checked it in several different ways, but it seems like the ships are, you know, active, but they're much more active at an unseen level. And the cleanup there is without a doubt, it's been in the last couple of years the ETs have been really pulling out the stops as far as the free will thing, and they're cleaning up big time. So, you know, some people say that Tokyo wouldn't even be even habitable if that cleanup hadn't happened. We're just trying to keep on the positive side and you know, trying to keep people aware of the fact that the technology that's being involved and the level from the causal and these higher dimensional levels that, from unseen places, some pretty powerful beings are working with some pretty powerful technology and know-how to kind of, you know, lessen the situation there. So, I'm not really worried about it at all. We did have an amazing, almost unprecedented, on the border of Fukushima this year, we had almost a night like you would have out here at Mount Adams one night. It was for the Tokyo area, greater Tokyo area, greater Kanto area, just unthinkable in times before. We had about, 7 to 10 ships flying over in that kind of, alleged satellite type, and with those little mini power-ups and stuff like that. So we had never seen that before. That's right south of the Fukushima area. So, it seems like they're moving about freely over there for sure.
I've seen some things on YouTube, and I'm not sure how accurate they were. Some people were saying, oh, that's the train, and everybody had different. So, I'm not sure. I wasn't there. I can't say. But there's some pretty impressive footage coming out of Fukushima of ships, light ships in the area and doing some strange things. But, that could always be CGI. You don't know. You don't know unless you were there, whether that was real or not.
Yeah, it seems like, the ships are there, but it seems like much even on a higher, it seems like in that whole area is under sort of the interdimensional shield, It feels like an unknown level. Just even being on the train going in there, it feels like it's sort of surreal, And the good news is it doesn't feel like it's traumatized. It doesn't feel really like it's really bad, It feels like it's under a positive change.
Yeah, we need to send different energy. There's so many people in fear. They're sending their fear to that area and drawing that to them, And it's very important. We do have to recognize that there is, we do need to behave ourselves and start cleaning up the planet and stop building these nukes. I have access to, and I'm going to talk about this real soon, but I have the photographs and everything of there actually is an online power station that's actually being run by water, and the water is running this huge Rolls-Royce jet engine, which is running a big turbine, which is generating this massive amount, a big generator, that massive amount of power. So there's no need for these nukes anymore, and this is a demonstration of that, and it's been running for quite some time, and it's on the grid, it's online, and it's working. An enormous amount of power, so it's actually functioning better than the nukes, So we don't need nuclear waste. We don't need any of these things anymore. And this technology is kind of the dinosaur technology, But it's very efficient and it works really well and it runs on water. There's no byproduct. There's no negative byproduct from it. So we have the ability to clean up these nukes. We just don't have the leadership and these greedy corporations that are capitalizing on making the mess. That they get paid $1 billion to clean up the very mess they made, So that as long as that industry doesn't get straightened up, we're going to keep going. They need to be held responsible for what they've done and for the cleanup. And then all of a sudden they're going to stop doing it, they'll stop using it. But, that's a whole other story.
I saw one of our friends is a major blogger there in Japan, and he got a leaked memo from to the Indian ambassador Kennedy's daughter. They're urging them to consider, with the Olympics coming up, there's this big thing with the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo being sort of a compensation for what happened in 311, so there's a lot of tension there in terms of the internal politics, and quite frankly a lot of this stuff is pressure from the outside. Benjamin Fulford has come out and talked about how the earthquake in Niigata, after he talked to this one Diet member from Japanese Parliament, that they were threatened with the earthquake machine, and he came out about it, and there was a couple days later two quakes on the Japan Sea, the backside of Japan. Mm-hmm. And so, I think there's a lot of pressure. The Japanese government is completely underpinned You know, there's a guy that stands behind Abe, the prime minister, called Michael Green. There's an American who basically is in the prime minister's office. Yeah. these bloggers in the background have a lot of this information. There's an American that stands behind the Japanese prime minister. Their government is completely controlled by the U.S. You know, they're under our thumb.
Yeah, that's, you know, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, there's only three men running the whole planet. In the middle of that, there's 13 families. Good news is that one of the guys is kind of just a businessman. He's okay. One of them's good, and one of them's extremely dark, really negative. And fortunately for us, the negative guy is dead. He died. You know, so things are going to start shifting from the top down and looking better. But anyway, that's another story in itself. But there's some amazing things unfolding out there on a very big level. We talked a little bit about that in the workshop, you know, how everything's going to change. The economy, the way we do business, the way we treat our environment, you know, all that stuff is going to be turned around. And those who are not frequency specific to where the Earth is evolving to are not going to be able to function here anymore. Their empires are going to collapse, you know, just under their own negative weight, you might say. But I was wondering, I didn't know if you had some people that might want to come up and they're gone.
Yeah, they're
having dinner, so okay. Yeah, unfortunately we got out a little late and so we have been playing dinner, but I wanted to bring on some of the people here that experienced the workshop and get their take on what they experienced and the energy. But I don't know if we'll be able to do that tonight because we got a little late start and the restaurants here are very slow in service usually. So,
well, I can tell you what I saw. You know, basically, you know, a lot of them, you know, obviously they come with the expectation of what they're going to see at night, but we really try and also give them the experience of the cosmology slash the energy connection at the same time. So, I think with the Japanese, they're really open to that. They're aware of that with the, you know, presence of, you know, different kind of acupuncture and massage therapy in their culture and presence of meditation and sensing presence is a thing that anyone can understand there. So they really tap into the deeper stuff very quickly. So that makes my job kind of easier.
Yeah.
We've got one woman here. She's kind of spearheaded the entire vegetarian movement in Japan, and she's really having a good time with her small child here. And then I think what was it last time we had a woman, a mother and son who were involved with Tai Chi quite a lot, and they really had, again, the same thing. They blasted open with the connection to the higher dimensional energies, just kind of rocking and shaking.
Yeah, yeah.
So last time we had that enormous solar flare activity.
Yeah.
I can really tell a difference between that speeds everything up. Everything. So we're a lot mellower this time. We've gotten more and more of our people involved with even taking part in the session here, being on the table with you. Even, you know, one of that lady with the who was the playing teacher. So she sat down right here and just started bawling. You know, like the energy. She knew it all along, but it's just that confirmation that a lot of people need. You know? So again, in the way we can't see, these people are bringing back this energy and this truth vibration back with them at home and anchoring into all of their different local communities and all the different shapes and forms. You know. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been quite an event here, and just the energies. I know we kind of topped it off this evening with the one, how old is the boy over here?
He's 6 or 7, yeah.
He's like 6 or 7 years old, but he's like seeing the being.
He's so high.
He said this woman all dressed in white keeps appearing, and then she goes high up into the clouds, you know, and flies up in the clouds and then comes back again. And he was watching her back and forth, you know, coming in and going out. And so,
she complimented it on his beautiful name.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was quite interesting. And he was seeing all these other things and kind of you know, the children are very tapped in, and they're seeing what's going on. And he was bouncing off the walls. There was energy. He was running all over the place. There's so much energy. And that's, unfortunately, that's what happens with kids when they come to the ranch. But they have an amazing experience. They get so energized. They just start bouncing off the walls and running all over the place. But you just have to direct that energy, you know, find a way to disperse it somehow. Mm-hmm. But it was quite amazing to, you know, watching his recap. But I think when finally we said, well, let's find out who she is. And when we found out who she was, and it turned out to be the Enha, and a ninth dimensional Anunnaki, the benevolent Anunnaki that are returning, you know, to right the wrong, to clean up the mess that the fallen Anunnaki created here. That was quite an awesome ending to the class, because when her energy came in, everybody was just going, oh my God, they were like, and her energy, there was just this divine feminine goddess love. It just kept building and getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and it was almost overwhelming. I don't know how you experienced that, but what was your experience with her energy when she came in?
Yeah, it seems like it was a lot more, it was more focused than some of the other, you know, even with the same beings, they work in different ways at each time. So, but I literally just all of a sudden saw this bath, and it seemed like she was sending some, I saw rings of energy coming out of this crystal or something at the top of the staff. And you confirmed that you saw that too. And then there was a, you know, doing a DNA activation, and I felt kind of tingling in the arms there. And, it was definitely more kind of focused and a little cooler feeling than the other, some of the other beings, you know, with it. But it was cool. Like, you know, it was good. We went into kind of overtime on that so she could, I'm sure she was, like, he had seen her already kind of waiting in the wings, you know.
Yeah.
And then, We kind of made the space for that to happen. That was great.
I don't know. The lion beings came in, and people got to experience them. You know, the lion beings and Bagheera, the feline, the fifth dimensional feline came in, and Plagi came in, the Pleiadian. She's a master teacher that's coming back 2 million years in the future to help us out from the Pleiades, and she came in. Boy, there's a lot of the women here just went off when she came into the room. It was like, that seems to be a very strong connection with the Pleiades in Japan.
Yeah.
You know, they have Subaru is their for the Pleiades, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. But they have a very strong connection there when she came in. So they felt that real strong.
Yeah, so I try and explain to people, you know, we're closing the gap between, you know, there's the contact outside and there's the internal contact, and then, you know, these are the beings that are actually on the ship. You know, these are the people that we're seeing flashing the lights. You know, so it's great to have a name and a picture. I can't tell you how many people, you know, James has always been so generous in sharing the Isetti, you know, pictures and material. So sharing that with people in Japan, a lot of people really click with that picture of Bagheera, you know, the illustration you had done.
Yeah.
And so the feline. It's not like it's out there in the on the internet really information wise that much, but there's tons of people who come to us just referencing that picture and said, I know these beings, I know, you know, I love cats, I've always loved, you know, this feline, and now I know why, you know. So they're research, they can get their connections back just with that one image, you know, the one picture.
Yeah, it's amazing when you know, people go, oh, you're crazy. There's no history on that. I go, really? What about Nerissa? You know, the protector of the gods, you know, this huge feline, humanoid feline being that stands behind the gods and has Lakshmi sitting on his lap. And you know, Nushringa, you know, and there's villages pray to Nushringa for protection. And when the bandits come into the village, all of a sudden they get knocked off their horses by this unseen force, and their clothes are all ripped up and everything. And they pack it out of there real fast. So I mean, there's a long history of these feline beings in ancient history. And I just found out today with one of your people here that they said that there are some very, very ancient artifacts in Japan that actually show depictions of all these different serpent beings, reptilian beings, feline beings, you know, all these different types of beings. And you know, that's just unheard of. Nobody, you know, everybody's going to the pyramids, but they're not going and looking at these other
artifacts.
Yeah, that's
right. Get some pictures of the Jomon era. That's really popular.
Yeah, and I really want to see that. If you can give me some pictures, that would be great, because I would like to see some pictures of, especially the feline beings, you know, the carvings of them.
Sure, yeah.
You know, or whatever else. But, you know, anything to, you know, because, you know, you start having these experiences. To me, I have the experience. I meet the beings, and then I go, okay, you know, just to placate my own scientific side, you know, like, am I nuts? Is this my imagination? You know, what was that? You know, I'll do research on it, and I find out these beings do exist and have a long history of interacting with the Earth in the past. So it's nice to have that validation, that feedback when you're on the front lines and having all these beings appear to you.
Yeah, it's still, unfortunately, you know, we're in a wash of information, so our biggest thing has been to, you know, making the experience the main, the core is the experience, and then we'll see what stays, you know, what sticks to that and what doesn't. So, you know, this if people, it takes a while to be able to have the enough experience to not be, you know, bashed around by the many ways of, you know, kind of misinformation and confusion out there.
Yeah, the confines of social consciousness, and you can't get outside that box.
Yeah. We even had one that he was speaking in the Fukushima area. We had a great bunch of events there last year, and I just talked to one person. I know I'll go away for a while, and then I go to all these different remote and countryside locations, and we do these major events and great workshops. And then most of the time, you know, change is permanent, but I just heard from one woman that, you know, this, you know, it's a fairly spiritually open shrine, but, you know, just the simplest little state of confusion, or if the people at another group don't actually take part in the event with you, you know, they kind of have their own, they draw their own conclusions from a distance, and then, you know, then all of a sudden they're saying, hey, you know, it's not a good thing to make contact directly, you know. They're kind of trying to hold on to their last grain of, you know, power over the people here. So, it's still an ongoing process.
Yeah. Well, you know, in a way, they're right in one sense that it's not a good idea to make contact with malevolent beings, and low-level contacts, and there are low-level contacts out there. You know, there's some negative grays and some reptilian energies you definitely want to avoid and out there, and just a couple other ones. But the majority of it is benevolent. And so I would say, you know, it's probably not a good idea to contact these beings with an addendum, unless you learn how to heal unseen negative influences and maintain your own self-authority. Because if you can't stand in your own divinity and you don't have the tools and techniques, it's probably not a good idea to just open yourself to anything that comes along, which a lot of groups do, and I think it's sad because they get into trouble. I see it all the time. I see people fully possessed by entities, you know, because they didn't use discernment and they didn't learn how to clear out these unseen negative influences.
Yeah, there's no working manual, but yeah, those tools and to get them clearing tools working is the key thing, the energetic discernment.
Yeah, and actually, too, you're doing a great job on getting those tools out. I mean, there's so many people in Japan now that have those tools and they're using those tools, and I mean, they're power tools. They've got them plugged into the seventh dimension. And so some amazing things are happening over there.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, we can't take calls. I wish we could. We're having some computer technology here that, you know, it's really weird. It seems like Skype and all these other programs now, we cannot do interviews anymore. Even though we have a solid connection to everything else, there's so much tampering.
I've got a great speaking of the Fukushima, I have a story I want to share about this past, even just in the time since we were back here in June, we had the 70th anniversary, as everyone knows, of the Nagasaki Hiroshima bombing. And, you know, I was drawn there. For the first time in 5 years of Jay City history, we did our event in Nagasaki, first one ever. And I've had a pretty personal connection to people in Nagasaki since the time I was in Japan for 10 years ago. And this is our fifth anniversary last month in July, right here. You're in our birthday, James, right there in the middle of July. But on 7/7, we were we went to Manitowoc for a meeting for our event, and I ended up doing kind of a clearing at the nuclear bomb site. And, you know, it ended up being the rain. We were in the middle of the rainy season, and it ended up this pocket of sunny weather opened up for 2 or 3 days after the clearing. And we had this aurora, you know, this kind of new ascension energy, the rainbow energy coming down. On our way back from the city, we had this. It was a sun shower. We had this giant double rainbow in front of the car the whole way back, and then the trucks and the cars around us on the freeway. The spray coming off their tires was making little rainbows.
Oh yeah.
Now, I've had lucid dreams before where the beings coming off of a ship appeared to me as little rainbow prisms, you know, dancing around. So it was like, you know, and then I spoke to the guys in doing their project in Australia there, you know, Peter and Sol Sarita, and they came out of nowhere, and Sarita told me out of nowhere, like, I see these, you know, like Buddha and these beings above the clouds just cheering, you know, what the heck did you guys just do? And it was like, well, by the way, you know, we were in Nagasaki there, and it was like in preparation for the anniversary. And when we went, the anniversary was on the 70th year of the bombing, and it was on 8/9, and on the first there, and I got this real strong hit from DT saying the souls can finally rest in peace, you know, that's what they said. So, you know, it was a major event, related to, and, you know, these nuclear events, they really affect things in the genetic template, they really affect things the space-time continuum that we don't understand. So, that was a really big. That's going to affect things in Fukushima as well, I think. So, that was a real great occurrence of late.
Great. You know, we've got so many things. Coming up here. We've got the other events. I want to talk a little bit about that. We've got Winston Sprott coming up here next weekend. That's an amazing event. You know, if you want to check out that, we've got Randy Kramer, who's he was one of the super soldiers on Mars, you know, part of the secret space fleet, coming up here real soon, and our own workshop coming up in October. So be sure and go to the site for that. And what's the best way that they can contact you if they want to find out more about JSETI? And
if anyone wants to mail, you know, we're at www.jcti.org. I don't have a lot of information, unfortunately, on English. I think we have a mailing list that people can sign up for. The address is info@jcity.org. If anyone wants to mail me in English, you know, we can be happy to reply. And we're trying to get some more videos and stuff online this year, but we're pretty much been an island nation unto ourselves, you know, besides this tour. I'm on Facebook, you know, under Greg Sullivan, and
great.
Hoping to do some more work in the English speaking world in the future.
I know there's a lot of people, Japanese speaking people here in the States, would probably love to come and connect with you when you come here and meet some of their friends from Japan, and who knows, this thing may evolve and something much bigger, and pretty soon we'll just have a whole conference around
it. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's great. It looks like we're hitting the end of the hour here. Unfortunately, we've got to sign off. But I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and the awesome work over there at JSETI.
Thanks,
people, you know, it's all about pure intent, having an open mind and a loving heart. That's the bottom line. That's all you need for contact. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. Yeah, you're totally worthy of these contacts. Don't let anybody tell you you're not. But if you go out there with pure intent, and, you know, the children are the ones that are doing it. I mean, they're the ones that are seeing the beings appear to them and having amazing contacts up here. So that old saying, you got to become like a child before you can enter the kingdom of heaven. And I'm saying you got to become like a child before you can enter the higher dimension. So we got to go back to that childlike sense of awe. You know, that pure intent, open mind, loving heart, and you'll be having your own contact here real soon. And you'll start generating a beautiful light, and they're going to see your light, and they're going to say, hey, there's somebody I want to talk to. So anyway, this is James Gillen signing off. Have a great evening, and we'll be seeing you next week.